this morning with a little story. It's one I like to call the parable of the soiled shirts. I was going to call it the parable of the soiled shorts, but I couldn't find a tasteful picture. So, soiled shirts it is. So we have a middle-aged soccer mom who was staring out her window for several months at her neighbors while they hung out their laundry. She doesn't hang out her laundry. She has a dryer. She thinks that anybody who hangs out their clothes is a little odd, but it intrigued her to watch them hang the clothes on the line. And as she stared out her window, she noticed that the family there must not have a lot of money, or maybe they just didn't know any better, because when they washed their clothes, they still appeared to be dirty. This went on for several weeks until one day she looked out the window and noticed that her neighbor's laundry was clean and bright. She thought, finally, they must have got a raise at work, or they learned how to wash their laundry properly. She even mentioned this to her husband. Her husband simply looked at her and laughed. Now, that's not usually a good thing to do, husbands. I'm just saying. But she then said to her husband, "What is so funny?" He looked at her and said, "You thought their laundry was dirty, and I think that's funny. It was our windows that were dirty, because you never cleaned them. I just cleaned the window, so now you can see everything for all the beautiful color it has to hold." The lady blushed and felt silly as she realized standing inside and judging the outside world from your point of view is kind of a silly thing to do. That's just to get us started on the topic of the day. We are still in our series of Mythbusters, and today's myth is Christians are not supposed to judge. Once again, I get the topic nobody wanted. I'm not kidding. Pastor Jen and I planned the series, and then she sent the topics out to Phyllis and Henry and Rick, whoever else was going to be preaching, and let them pick their favorites. And then I got the rest. Why is it that that always happens to me? Anyways, I have to say that I wasn't thrilled with this topic at first, because as I dug back in my brain, I really didn't think about this a whole lot. I remember in high school, we had a particularly unruly group one day in our class, and the teacher had it up to here, and so she decided that as a class, we would judge, we would determine whether that group was to be punished or not. So everybody was writing their papers down, and the teacher was counting them out like they do, you know, at the end of Survivor. One vote for yes, one vote for no, so far. And then she came to a piece of paper that she read and stopped. There were a few short words written on that piece of paper. Four words to be exact, and they were, "I will not judge." That has always stuck with me. Not because it was me who wrote that. Oh, I wish it had been. I was not nearly that evolved. It was a boy that I know, and it speaks of his character. He would not judge them. And I have tried to take that lesson into my life. The other thing that comes to mind when I think about this is a conversation I had with my girlfriend. It was the first time she had ever come to church here. It was also the last time she ever came to church here. And I thought we'd had a great service. And I don't remember what the sermon was about, but it was addressing some kind of sin in the world. And we went out for coffee afterward, and I said, "So, what'd you think?" She said, "I find you rather intolerant people." And my response to her was, well, that's because we are. We're intolerant of some things. We ought to be intolerant of sin. And so that led us down another conversation, and I'm sure that's not the only reason she hasn't been back, but I know that it stayed with her, and I ruminate on that now and again, and I think, like, I thought my answer was so good to her, but maybe it wasn't. So when we say Christians are not supposed to judge, it would be easy, even nice, to be able to say that that statement is true. Christians are not supposed to judge. Or are they? Well, first of all, let's look at the definition. To judge is to form an opinion about someone or something after careful thought. Well, that doesn't sound so bad, does it? The truth is, it's impossible for us not to judge. Every decision we make, every value we determine, involves a judgment of some kind. As I stood before the mirror this morning, trying on several outfits, and finally phoning my girlfriend and telling her I had a clothing emergency because I couldn't make a decision. So I described to her each of them, and she made a judgment as to which would be most suitable for today. It's a judgment. And I think perhaps it's the word judge that is the problem for us, because the English language has a tendency to lack some of the nuances other languages do. There are other words we could use for judge. Also, according to the dictionary, infer, deduce, conclude, reproof. Now, that has a bit of a negative connotation, but nonetheless, it fits. Reproach or rebuke also can be kind of negative. Evaluate, much more neutral. Discern. Good spiritual word. But in the end, they all come down to pretty much the same thing. Forming an opinion about something or someone after careful thought. So let's look at what the scripture has to say. And I thought this would be a simple task. Fooled me. It is not. So we're going to start with what scripture says that are the main argument for those who think Christians should not judge. I always find it interesting because it's often non-Christians who will make this argument, but they use scripture. So at least they know three Bible verses. We know that. And let's see why they think that this is what it says. They're the three most common verses quoted by those who believe Christians should not judge. The first is Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too shall be judged. That verse is considered by some to be the most frequently quoted saying of Jesus and the most misrepresented text in all of the Bible. Why? Because our culture values tolerance above almost everything else. Judging and tolerance are not the same thing. Tolerance means not being willing to allow or accept something or someone. So, Matthew 7, 1, do not judge or you too will be judged. What goes around comes around. That's the rationale they give. Second verse, John 8, 7. Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. What they're saying is that unless you are without sin, and they know none of us is, you are not in a position to judge anyone else anytime. And then the third scripture that they like to quote is 1 John 4:8, God is love. Hard to argue with that, isn't it? Okay, so now let's look at what scripture really says, using the same verses, but putting them into a bit of context. Matthew 7, 1-5 says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And basically, what Jesus is telling us is to examine our own heart first, before you start examining others. You don't want a blind surgeon doing your cataract surgery, or any surgery for that matter. Got to make sure that your vision is clear. And our behavior reveals our character. Then we go on to John 8:7. Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. This is the story of the woman caught in adultery. When it says without sin, any of you who is without sin, it's referring to the particular sin under discussion, which in this case happens to be adultery. Without sin does not refer to a state of absolute sinlessness, because there's only one who ever lived that way, and that's Jesus. Old Testament law required the testimony of two witnesses before a sentence of death could be given. And those two witnesses were obligated to throw the first stones once the sentence had been pronounced. You could not be a witness against someone if you also could or should be prosecuted for the same crime. The story implies that the teachers of the law and the Pharisees who brought her had also committed adultery and were therefore not fit to speak against her. A couple other things to consider. The story tells us that it was dawn when this happened, and they had caught her in the act. One could legitimately ask, how did they know where to find her if they hadn't been there before? How like us to criticize the very things in others that we wrestle with ourselves. Sometimes those planks are big enough to make a whole picnic table. Jesus did not say that the woman was innocent. He didn't even say that they couldn't stone her. He simply said, if you can do it legally, go for it. If you can do it in good conscience, do it. They couldn't, and they didn't. Because they, in that moment, knew that their hearts had been examined, not necessarily by them, but certainly by the God of heaven, and they had been found wanting. It's also not quite the image of Jesus we learned in Sunday school. But this is the real Jesus. He confronts sin head on. And as we know, the story ends when he tells her to go and sin no more. Then we get to the next verse, 1 John 4:8. God is love. Yes, he really is. But Hebrews 12:29 tells us that he is also a consuming fire. And as Numbers 14:18 points out, his mercy and compassion exist with his just wrath towards those who rebel against him. It says, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty. Throughout Scripture, the expressions of mercy outweigh the expressions of wrath. But God's love and God's just wrath at sin, at disobedience, at rebellion, are not mutually exclusive. The two things can and do exist. So, what else does Scripture say? Well, first of all, it tells us that Jesus judged. In Matthew 23:33, he says, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" That's fairly clear. The Pharisees were frequently the brunt of his judgment, and those judgments were pretty severe. Matthew 23:27, "You hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, full of death and decay on the inside." Jesus judged. At one point, we know that he made a judgment about Peter, because Peter had said some things he ought not to have said, and Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I am sure that was not a good thing for Peter, that Peter wanted to hear. But in that moment, that was the judgment Jesus made, because what he had said was inappropriate. Later, he went on to say, "You are the rock." So what else does it say? Well, we know that Jesus judged. Paul and the disciples judged. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God?" He was speaking to wrongdoers who were not going to inherit. 2 Peter 2:17. Again, they're picking on the Pharisees, but it was well deserved. "The Pharisees are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them." Paul and the disciples judged based on the things Jesus had taught them and with the authority he had given them. So what does it mean for us? Next slide. There we go. We are commanded to judge. Luke 17 says, "If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says that we are to admonish the unruly. We live in an unruly world. We are commanded to judge one another. Jesus gives us permission to tell right from wrong. Indeed, it is an important piece of work that we're called to do, especially in a world that has gone morally haywire. And I want us to note very carefully that this message, again, is for the church. We are called to judge the behavior of one another. We are called to call each other on our sin and correct that. We're not to judge those who refuse to hear the gospel. There is no point in imposing our values and ethics on people who do not embrace the God of the Bible and all that he teaches. It's just, you're speaking a foreign language. We are commanded to judge. Finally, Scripture says in John 7:24, this is Jesus speaking, "Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead, judge correctly." There is a right way and a wrong way to judge. We are not to judge merely on what we see. Appearances can be deceiving. I have a friend who frequently sends me little bits and pieces, sometimes funny, sometimes not, on email. And we've had this ongoing conversation for a while now, because he frequently sends me things that border on hate-mongering, certainly contribute to fear-mongering against Muslims. And more than once I have written him back and said, just a reminder, Jesus loves them too. Just because someone looks like they might be of a heritage from a place where they are Muslims doesn't mean they're a bomber. Just because you look like a nice, well-put-together couple or single doesn't mean that you're a good person, that you don't beat your children, that you don't dishonor your parents, that you don't blaspheme. We can't always tell by looking. My brother and I have had this conversation for a bit now because my nephew has decided to change his look. Okay, he needs a makeover. Badly. But he's happy with how he looks. And his thing is, take it or leave it. It's not a reflection of who I am as a person. The hard part for him is that he's hoping to be in ministry. He lives in the Bible Belt in the States, very conservative. And I've had to say to him a couple times, you know what, Michael? I know why it's hard for you to get an interview. They shouldn't judge the way you look. But we do. I said, I know you and I love you and I think you look awful. So, if I wouldn't leave you with my children, other people aren't going to leave you with their children. But it's just a fact of life. It's what we do. The fact that his hair is to here, he even braids it. You know, the tattoos, the everything out that goes with it. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But people do judge what you look like before they get to know who you are. So there is a right way and a wrong way for us to judge. Here are the don'ts. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be judging somebody for the sin that you commit. Okay? We have to be willing to examine our own hearts first. Don't be quick to jump to conclusions, like I do when I look at my nephew, like others do when they look at him. Some of the dearest, most wonderful friends that I have ever known are not people I would have chosen based on the way they looked. And I know that that's true of me as well, for others having chosen. Don't be quick to jump to conclusions. Don't judge by any standard but God's. The world has very different standards. They're not good standards. They're not consistent standards. Spend time in God's Word and you will learn His standards. And that's what we ought to judge one another by. Don't lie when you make a judgment. Don't bear false witness. Sometimes we do. The temptation is there. Don't judge unkindly. God calls us to be compassionate and loving and kind and forgiving and ready to restore all the time. Don't judge superficially. That's that whole just looking at the surface kind of thing. I had clients once in my work at the health unit where it was a family, a young family. They had a new baby and they did not have two nickels to rub together on a good day. And one of the girls had been to the house and was all askance and we were going to have to call somebody and do something and blah, 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 because there was no crib for the baby. I said, well, where's the baby sleeping? I mean, it was a little baby. It doesn't need a lot of room. The baby was sleeping in a drawer of the dresser. They had pulled it out, put it on the floor, and made a lovely bed. I said, is the baby safe? Is the baby warm? Is the baby fed, diapered, loved, and cared for? There's nobody to call. The baby will eventually outgrow the drawer. We'll deal with that when we get to it. But we can't just judge first sight. And finally, we ought not to take God's place in determining a person's ultimate spiritual fate. That's not our call. That's not our call. And I have long believed some of us are going to be very surprised when we get to heaven and just who we see there. And we'll be like, Jesus, did you know what he did? And Jesus will say, yeah, I do, but I also know what was inside. And that's the part that matters. The other thing we just have to remember is that we are to judge behavior, not the value of the person. Hear this. No one is more or less valuable than you are. And you are valuable enough to God that he sent his son to die so that you might be saved. You got no place judging value of people, whether they're worth it or not. You are to judge behavior. God takes care of the rest. So the do's. Do it reluctantly. We shouldn't be out looking for people to cast judgment on. You know, you don't sit up in your office or at the kitchen table first thing in the morning and say, today I am going to judge the neighborhood. Okay? That is not the attitude. We should do it reluctantly because we know that somebody is going to judge us too. Do all things in love. Love, love, love. Do pray for discernment. Don't assume you know it all. Don't assume you've got it right. Pray for discernment. Do your duty. It is our duty as Christians to call each other and the world on sin, evil, wrongdoing. So things like war, abortion, drugs, guns, whatever you name it, abuse of animals. We are to stand up and say, hey, by God's standards, this is not right. That's our job. And we need to do it all the while being ready to forgive and restore if someone comes to repentance. See, sometimes we stop at the judging just because we get such a satisfied feeling about telling someone how terribly horrible they are. And if they get it and they repent of that, we need to be even more ready to forgive and restore. There is also a right way and a wrong way to receive another's judgment. Because someday you may be and probably will be on the receiving end. So the first thing is we ought not to get mad. We ought not to get even. God will fight for you. God will fight for you. Your dad is bigger than theirs. Don't allow yourself to be defeated or discouraged. And I know that's hard. And I'm not saying you can't have that momentary, like, Oh, just when I thought I was doing so well. We all get that. But don't stay there. Do be open to what your mature brothers and sisters have to say. Test it. Examine your heart. They might not be right, but they might be. Do ask for forgiveness if you need to. Do make a change if you need to. Pick yourself up and move on. Continue to grow. Don't be surprised. You will be judged as you judge others. I have someone in my life who is a harsh judge. And she'll often say to me, "Why do people feel they can be so harsh when they talk about me?" Well, that might be because that's exactly how you talk about them. And it's hard to hear that. But it's truth. I've really wrestled with this whole judging thing. Mostly because recently, those who are in authority over me pass judgment on something. And I didn't like it. And I've really had to wrestle. Do I just submit to that authority? There's certainly part of it that's that. But am I willing to look at my heart? Really look at my heart. And ask myself, is there any truth in it? It's hard to be on the receiving end. But in the end, it's good for us. It's good when someone holds you to a higher standard and says, you can be better than this. And that's the attitude with which we need to do it. You can be better. You can be more Christ-like. You can be all that Jesus wants you to be. And this little piece of you is just not it right now. That's a whole lot better than, you stink. You're wrong. You failed. That's not loving and warm. And that's not what Jesus says to us. So, are Christians supposed to judge? You betcha. That myth is busted. We're going to open the prayer rails now. Perhaps you've been a judger. And perhaps you haven't done it well or rightly. And you need to ask forgiveness for that. Perhaps you've been judged. And you need to say to God, help me search my heart. If it's not right, fine. But if it is, help me to find it. Or maybe there's other things you need to bring to the Lord today. They could be good things. We don't always just have to come and dump bad things. Although we are welcome to do that. But he also invites us to share our joys.